listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 121. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who keeps scratching his back on inanimate objects like he's a bear, John Brownstone.
Yeah.
You have an itchy back, huh?
Allergy season sucks.
And it makes your back itch?
Just makes me itchy in general.
But it's only your back I see you rubbing on things.
Yeah, well, it's because the only spot I can't reach.
Okay. I'm going to start the show now? Okay.
Yes.
This week, we're talking about one of our kinks, humiliation play. You sound way too excited for that. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, or on Instagram at LovingDS1. That's LovingDS and the number one, and I still hate that handle. I do. I hate it. I hate it so much. All links are in the show notes. So guess what?
What?
We have new merchandise.
Really?
We do.
Oh, cool.
And we, well.
What we got?
We don't actually. We have it, but we did not make it or create it.
True.
An amazing listener who makes keychains.
Yeah.
Out of aluminum, right? I'm remembering this correctly.
Anodized aircraft aluminum.
See, there you go. You know these things. I don't. he has made them for us to be able to sell. And as soon as he has his website up and running, we will pimp the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
But yes, we have keychains.
It's great work.
I know it is.
Yeah.
And he was telling me he's got new processes and new stuff, and he's got all kinds of stuff. But for us, for Loving BDSM listeners, lovers, fans, crickets, there's merchandise.
Yeah.
And there's two types.
Yeah.
So there's one, if you don't mind having your kink out there where other people can see it. It says Loving BDSM on the front with our logo, which is so cool. And then on the back, it has like community and kink and communication and all kinds of cool words. The things we sort of stand for. Yay.
Right.
And then for those of you who cannot let your kink show.
But still want to.
Right. There's two types, but they say the same thing. So one is in the purple color and one is in black, but it says coffee is our love language.
Yeah. And see, that could be like a secret.
I know. It's
like secret code.
Exactly. If you see somebody with the coffee is our love language keychain.
You know they listen to.
Right. Like, you know, you're part of the secret like club.
Yeah.
Like you're a cricket.
Right.
I know. It's awesome. So awesome. And those are in the shape of like a coffee cup.
Yes.
And the Loving BDSM, I can't even say our name. The Loving BDSM keychain is the circle.
Yes.
Right.
It's round.
It's round. So it's a circle. Right?
Yes.
Okay. That's round, right? I have no excuses. I just am confused. So you can buy them from the shop that's actually at KaylaLords.com, but the link will be in the show notes. There's a link on our homepage, lovingbdsm.net. My store is set up to ship U.S. and I think Canada, but we will send it to internationally because they're really small and light. So pop it in like a padded envelope and mail it off. Shipping should not be as expensive as it normally is.
They weigh just under like 4 ounces.
Like, it's ridiculous. I shipped one out to somebody yesterday and did it in a little padded envelope. It didn't need a box or anything.
Yeah.
So if you are out of the country and you're interested, go check out the link. Like I said, it's in the show notes. We will start like putting it out on Twitter and places like that. But if you want one and you're interested, message us and we'll work out the sale outside of our shop so that we can account for international shipping.
Right.
And then maybe figure out if we want to do international shipping on the store,
because
that might make sense. then we can do that. But yeah, we've got that. It's a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new thing, and it's a thing we've had for a while, and we should have put out earlier. But, you know, things happen when they happen.
Right.
Right. So, but yeah, it's a thing.
And I finally sat down and...
Well, but I promised to sit down and do it, and I did not.
True.
And so then you finally did it for me, and I'm very appreciative and grateful that you did. And now it is done. And I really like the idea of having like little things. Like if you see somebody else out in the wild with one of these things, you know they're one of your people. Like, it's a secret kink signal.
Yeah.
It's the kink signal instead of the bat signal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, woo-hoo. I like that. Okay. So before we get into the episode, I do have announcements, and I have several. I'm not even going to lie to anybody. I have several.
Okay, wake me up when you're done.
Stop, I'm going to try and get through them fast, as long as somebody doesn't distract me. And that would not be me, I do not distract myself. Don't close your eyes like you're going to sleep.
At least I'm not snoring.
That's true. And you only slightly got the creak out of the chair. Okay, announcements. Just a reminder, we are going on hiatus for 2 weeks.
Correct.
The March 16th and March 23rd, there will be no episode because we will be traveling. That's just, it is what it is. I have told myself I might have a blog post each week. I have probably lied to myself. Yeah. There may be no blog post. I don't know. Another reminder, if you are a kinky fuckery level member of the Loving BDSM community, we have the online munch this Saturday, March 3rd,
right.
2 p.m. Eastern, our time. No, we don't know what the hell we're talking about because we never do until we turn on the camera. And we're like, oh, yeah. Oh, you know what I haven't done? I haven't created the live stream links for anybody to go actually watch it. I should probably do that.
That would be very helpful.
It'll be where it always is. It'll be in the
forum.
Munches and Meetings forum for Kinky Fuckery members. I just have to like go do my part. Another announcement, any paid member, Kinky Fuckery or Kinky and Curious, that's the lowest paid level. Our February video has been out for a couple of weeks.
Yep.
It's all about sex toys for cocks. Mm-hmm. Or the sex toys we love for cocks.
Yeah.
Yay! And you have an idea for the March video.
Oh, yes, I do.
I don't think you even told me what the March
video
is.
No, I haven't.
So it'll be a surprise for everybody. next thing, moving on. We talked about it last week. We are still looking for a virtual assistant. We have talked to a couple of people. If you're interested, go ahead and reach out to us and we'll give you some more details. We have talked about how we want to promote it and how we want to like put it out there. And I don't want to put it on the blog where it could conceivably live forever until I delete it. And I also really want it to be ideally somebody who knows who we are, even if it's just through our voice once a week in a podcast, and kind of like gets us, because it's easier to work with my crazy if you already have a slight understanding of it and a little bit of experience with it.
Yeah.
But we have talked to a couple people, and I know that there are others who have said that they're interested or that they might be interested. Yeah. So we just need to actually have a conversation. And also, we are definitely for real looking for contributors to the Loving BDSM blog.
Yeah.
And our very first contributor piece will be published on Monday, March 5th.
Yay.
By Julie Nispel. I think I'm saying your last name right, Julie. If I'm wrong, please, please reach out and correct me. And the topic is on being kinky as a transgender person.
Ah.
And especially as a trans woman and some of the misconceptions and things that are not necessarily thought about or are overlooked from an outsider's perspective. Right. And it's a very good piece, and Julie's blog is very good, so that we'll definitely be linking to that. And I'm very excited. It's our very first contributor
I took a little peek at her blog earlier.
I know. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. So, yay, we've got that. Okay, so now we should actually probably
do a show?
We're going to do a show now?
Yeah.
Hey, I did pretty good. 18 kajillion announcements, and I'm done in less than 10 minutes. That's got to count. That's progress.
Getting better.
That's progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm focusing.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying. So you're the one who said, let's do this topic this week.
I was. I am.
And that reason would be?
Well, I've been seeing a lot of talk about this. Around lately. No surprise, I spend a fair amount of time on Tumblr.
Perving Tumblr.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of discussion about this topic lately. Or for a while, actually. I've had this idea, this thought for a while, because it seems to be an ongoing thing. A big debate in regards to humiliation play.
There's a debate?
Well, discussion, debate. Well,
I guess I'm just feeling out of the loop. Please, please tell. What are people saying?
Well, I think one of the biggest topics in regards to humiliation play is as someone who likes to receive humiliation play, and more so in regards to women.
Sure.
All right. how they can feel, allow themselves to be humiliated and degraded in that sense, and yet still be a whole person, or
a strong, independent woman. Yes, who can take care of her damn self. It is the exact same debate that, and primarily women, yes, mm-hmm. that we have over why we're even able to submit. It's the same discussion that people who identify as feminists, women who identify as feminists, who say, how can I be a feminist and a submissive? How can, I mean, it's the, what it is on the act is different.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, not all, but in some, the potential effect, good or bad, can be different. But right. the situation is essentially the same. It's a power dynamic. One of you is at the bottom. One of you is the one giving up control, allowing somebody to do something to you that is potentially harmful mentally, physically, emotionally. And you have to square that with the things that we know are wrong with society, or the things we don't like about society and how society treats us, versus our internal desires and what gets us off. And I wish I was smart enough to have answers for that.
Yeah.
What I've had to do is kind of square it with, okay, what I like when I'm naked and with a partner I trust
mm-hmm.
is not the same as how I expect to be treated when I'm fully clothed and out in public and dealing with the world.
There is the big difference. I mean, we both like humiliation play to a degree, mm-hmm. okay? It is, as we have grown together as a DS couple, humiliation play has really become a good part of our play in some aspects.
It's as common, I would say, as our impact play.
Yeah.
And usually it's combined with impact play.
Correct. And the thing is, there lies the secret. I mean, the difference is when we're in a scene, when we're having that crazy monkey sex, all right, I call you my slut, mm-hmm. my whore, mm-hmm. my cock whore,
mm.
all right? I don't call you a whore or a slut.
Right. It's not who I am in general. It's who I am to you in that moment, in that scene, where on one level we have suspended certain amount of disbelief.
Right.
And on another level, we're in a private sort of fantasy world where, because of the trust that we've established, because of our power exchange dynamic, we allow polite rules of society to just melt away.
Yes.
And what feels good, and we don't question it. We go right. with it. And I think that whole idea of not questioning and going with it can be true in any sexual or romantic or kinky situation you find yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
But I know from personal experience in our specific dynamic that it is easier, and we can push ourselves a little further because of the trust established, because yeah. I do not in any way doubt outside of that moment, or in that moment actually, how you really feel about me.
Right. And you know that once that scene ends, so does the humiliation.
Absolutely.
Okay. Outside of that scene, okay, I do not call you names.
Mm-mm.
Other than baby girl, my baby girl.
That is all my right? name, just capital B. That's
yeah,
just like,
yeah.
Can I put that on my driver's
okay.
license?
You know, I treat you with the utmost respect.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I open doors for you. You're not allowed to get in or out of the car without me opening the door for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I never, anytime we even fuss at each other, argue, never call you a name.
Mm-mm, no.
Okay.
No, that would not go over
you
well.
You know, no, it wouldn't. You know, it strictly stays within the realm of play.
Right. And I think and I've had this conversation with people in the past, especially when I've written on my own personal blog about some of our kinky fuckery, where you slap me in the face and I mm-hmm. fucking Love that. Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah.
So much.
Oh my gosh. You should, I mean, it is like an immediate trip to subspace.
Oh yeah,
for
my eyes roll back
her
in my
eyes
head.
Roll back in her head, and she just goes limp, becomes putty in my hands.
Not completely, though. There is one specific spot that clenches quite tightly.
Okay.
Right around your cock every time. He'll do it when he's fucking me. He'll slap me in the face multiple times, and it's like this becomes this rhythmic thing. My body just reacts. But when
I mean,
have,
even that can be seen, you know, that's a very humiliating.
That's to me, it's part of our play.
Right.
That's my point. When I have written about this in the past, because, you know, I have no boundaries, apparently. I have people who will say in one of two ways, I can't understand why you like that. And then the biggest compliment is, it's totally not my thing, but that was really hot the way you described it. And as a sex blogger, as a writer, I'm like, yes, that's going down on a resume. Got somebody turned on by a kink that's not theirs. Yes, I did.
Right.
But what I explain to people when I get into these conversations and how that works for me. Now, first of all, what gets us off as individuals is completely unique to us. So I'm not trying to convert anybody into going around and smacking their submissive or their bottom's face in
no
of sex or a scene. But what I always say is the reason I can allow that other than the fact that it's also a form of impact play that feels really good to me on that level as well. It's because I know how you feel about me. I know how loved I am. I know how cherished I am. I know I'm respected.
Right.
It's not, there's never this moment where I'm walking around in the rest of our life outside of kinky fuckery and wondering how you really feel about me, wondering if I am those filthy things you call me during sex.
Right.
I know where I stand and who I am. And that, I would say that's which came first, chicken or the egg? Could I allow humiliation play because I knew that? Or did the humiliation play, you know, did I have a humiliation kink and could tap into it because I know it was loved? Did I have to be loved first before I could try? I honestly don't know.
Yeah, because I was going to say, you know, I would think, my point of view, that knowing you as I do, I don't think you would allow that type of thing if we had not built the level of trust and communication that we have.
Well, sure. The first few times we seemed as close as we had gotten it, even to that point, as that early on in our relationship, if you had smacked me in the face, I probably would have reared
you probably
back
would
and
have,
gone.
You probably would have decked me.
What the fuck are you doing? And I don't remember when in our relationship you first did it, but I remember, and the reason I can classify it as humiliation play, because some people would say that's not humiliating, it's impact. He's, you know, landing a blow. And that is part of it. And I think that's the other thing.
Well, that's part of it. But getting up close into somebody's personal space, especially their face.
Right. That's the first time you did it. There was this, it was shocking to me. I had never in my life been hit in my face. Knock on wood, I'm very fortunate. Not everybody can say that. I had never been hit in my face by anybody. And the way I'd been taught about being hit in your face is like, it's not obviously an abuse, but it's this effort to humiliate somebody. When you slap somebody, you're...
It's an affront to your personal space.
Thank you, exactly. I couldn't think of what I was trying to say. And you were doing it in this very sexy context, and I clearly responded. I mean,
yeah.
The clenching was real from the very first time.
Now, you know, let me make it clear. When I do that, I mean, I do not just backhand her across the face.
Oh, gosh, no.
It's done in a very safe way.
Very controlled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first time I did it, it was very light.
Yeah, it was. It was still shocking, though. It didn't even have to hurt. It was just so shocking, and I loved it.
Yes, you did. And it's kind of gone from there. You know, like anything else, especially face slapping, you want to be very careful. You know, always support the head. Never do it so that, you know, someone's head can, you know, snap because you can do damage to the neck.
Right. We were getting rough. It was kind of recent, a few weeks ago, and you were slapping me and your hand was drifting towards my ear.
Right.
And I had to say something because my ear was hurting more than my cheek. And yeah. I was like, I can't.
And you do not want to slap somebody on the ear. That can be very dangerous.
Eardrum.
You know, you can damage your eardrum that way.
But that's the thing. Just like any other kind of play, because in humiliation play, it can be literally anything. Because it's not just about the act. There are certain acts that can be easily classified as that's humiliation play.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not necessarily about the act. It's about how the person feels about the act, how they respond to it. Internally, externally, doesn't matter. It's because some things somebody else might not even consider humiliating. Hearing me talk about face slapping, you'd be like, yeah, that's impact play, but that's it. That's all. Well, and for that person, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it is true that it's part of humiliation play. Dirty names. Right. Some people just like, oh, that's just dirty talk. Well, as somebody who cannot, one, stand role play, and two, can't be called a name without it. I mean, I still have really bad memories of certain names that I have been called.
Yeah.
To be called any name that could be considered derogatory,
mm-hmm.
for me is part of that humiliation play. And yet, not all names are allowed. This week's blog post that I hit publish on 10 minutes before we start recording, talks a little bit about that. And in that case, I use the examples that, yes, you can call me whore and slut and all kinds of things. And mm-hmm. you get very creative with that. And those are the moments I feel bad that I'm not into role play or anything, because I'm pretty sure you could just take that and run with it. But there are certain things you couldn't, that's a hard limit. You couldn't call me those things.
Yeah.
So it's not just in what is done. It's how it makes you feel. And it's why literally anything can be humiliation play.
Oh, sure.
But safety is key no matter what it is. Safety matters in the words you say. It matters in the physical actions you take.
And it matters in what you do after.
Absolutely. Because humiliation play is a form of edge play. Because if you are not careful, you can legitimately harm somebody.
Sure. If you're not careful, I mean, you can do some long-lasting damage to someone's self-esteem.
Exactly. It's not always physical.
To their confidence. You know, one of the biggest things, which is why before you get into any kind of humiliation play like that, especially calling somebody names, and that, you know, you want to talk and make sure that someone doesn't have any triggers.
Sure, you need to, you know, I know that there are kinksters who can come together, negotiate a scene, and it works for them, and they just do their thing, and then they part, and they have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain forms of play I can do that with. I could do that with impact play.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to tell you that's too hard. You know,
yeah.
I'll let you know, that's too hard.
We're in a yellowy red.
Right, slow down. But I'm not going to negotiate humiliation play in the sense that I'm not going to say to them, here are things you can do, here are things you can't do. Because for me, the humiliation play is connected to how I feel about you. I can let you do those things to me and make me, for me, what humiliation play does is it takes me out of myself a little bit. Like getting in my face and slapping it is, every time it's slightly shocking. And I don't ever want you to do it so often that I become accustomed to it, because part of the turn on is that shock. It's that jolt of, mm-hmm. oh my God, this just happened. And it's why certain words that you might say can have a bigger effect, because they're not words I hear very often. But you can do those things because I can trust you to do those things. Now, I can imagine a top or a dominant who's very experienced in that kind of play being able to ask the pointed questions of, could I call you these words?
Right.
Could I do this? If I was asked point blank, I could say yes or no, and probably most of it would be no, you cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's trust established between me and that person.
Sure.
But as a submissive who has to talk about, here are my boundaries, here's what I allow, here's what I don't allow, I can't imagine ever coming up to a top that's not one of my people.
Right.
And saying, oh, yeah, treat me like this, I'm cool with it, because there is an emotional side to it for me. And I can be jolted like that verbally or physically and be shocked, because even then at the back of my mind, I still know it's not quite real, because I know at the end, you are going to wrap me up in cuddles and you're going to tell me how much you love me. You're going to tell me what a good girl I am. And you're going to tell me all these things I personally need to hear in order to feel loved and cherished. And any harsh words that might've been said in the scene are sort of smoothed over, and the love and the care is the balm to some of that. So if maybe it hurt a little too much mentally, I mean, you'll say the things I need to hear to be reminded. And quite frankly, and I don't know how other people feel about this, so I'm truly only speaking from my perspective. Sometimes I want to be brought so low. I want to be reminded in a very primal, animalistic,
very visceral way.
Oh my God, kinky ass way. That I am lower than you, and that I am beneath you, and I'm below you. And not because I truly believe that. Because what I believe is that we balance each other, and I defer to you and I give you the power, but you treat me with respect and as an equal. And I do what I do and you do what you do, and they complement each other. We balance each other. But in a kink sense, and this is why I identify as having a humiliation kink. It takes me to this place where temporarily, in a fantasy kind of way, I feel low and small and almost like an object to be used. And in small doses with somebody I trust, that's hot as fuck. That's just hot
and,
as fuck to
me. And that's another aspect of that. That's a good point. You know, because humiliation play comes in many different ways.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay, it doesn't have to come as name calling or face slapping. Objectification is a big part of humiliation
play.
Right,
because you're taking away somebody's humanity in a sense.
You know, I was reading about someone whose part of their play is she is not allowed to orgasm. When they're in the scene or in a particular moment, she is not allowed to orgasm. She is there for him to use and have his orgasm and get off on. You know, she is nothing more than there for his pleasure.
And see, it's funny. There are times that I'm signing up for that. Now, for me, I could not do that every time.
No, not all the time.
I would imagine that many people probably could not. I think your average kinkster probably could not. Unless you have a hardcore humiliation kink or fetish.
Right.
Most people probably could not do that. But if it's something that turns you on, if the idea of it turns you on, and in a, you know, we don't do the same exact thing every single scene. Even if we do the same types of things in, you know, from scene to scene. There's always impact play in a scene. That's just how we roll.
That's just a given. Right. That's who we are.
Right. There's, I would say almost always, maybe always, there's always name calling in a scene because that's who we are.
Yeah.
But the harsher, that's subjective, I know, but from my perspective, the harsher elements of humiliation play, they are not in every scene.
No.
And part of that is, I think it would get boring, but part of it is you would adjust to that and then you might not have the same reaction to it.
True. You know, another part of the objectification, human furniture.
Yes, I find that fascinating from an outsider looking in perspective. And I think I could do it for about a minute. Then I'd go back to being a baby girl. And I would fidget and my knees would hurt. And I would be like, can we do something else now?
I mean, I could be wrong, but somehow I don't see a squirmy baby girl being a piece being a piece of furniture, you know, whether a footstool or coffee table or something like that.
Unless the scene consensually between both parties is how that squirmy baby girl got in trouble and really got what she wanted ultimately. Am I giving you ideas?
Making me think here now.
Okay. Now, I don't really talk to people much about kinks. And part of that is, for me, it's because it is so personal. It's not that I avoid talking about my kinks. God knows, KaylaLords.com, huh? I don't really hide much. But I don't get into conversations with people about their kinks. And part of that for me is that it is such a personalized thing that you're either going to spend the whole time going, yeah, no, I don't get that at all. But here's what I get. And it's this weird... There's less sometimes a point of connection to me.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about DS relationships, talking about overall like 50,000 foot view of BDSM. You know me, I'll get into a conversation with anybody about that. When it comes to kinks, I guess maybe I'm a little bit more reserved about it. I don't know. Maybe it's because I think of them as so highly individualized and highly personal. So when I speak about it here, I can't tell you, oh, I've talked to lots of subs. Nope, not about this. I haven't. And not because I'm hiding anything, just it's not a conversation we get into.
Right.
So for me, and I have no clue how true this is about for anybody else.
Yeah, how that relates back.
It also depends on my mindset in a given moment. So if I'm more baby girl than submissive in my head, in that moment, with whatever's going on in life, I can't always automatically just flip a switch when it's time to get sexy, kinky, naked, and go into, yeah, I'm cool with humiliation.
No.
You know, so part of it is we have to test the waters with each other, and you have spent the time learning how to kind of read me and see where I'm at. And then there are times, and I'm not good at articulating this, because I always tell you afterwards, and you always kind of give me a look like, why the fuck didn't you say something?
Right?
Where I'm thinking, use me harder, go harder, be mean.
True.
And I have said that
to me several times.
Be mean to me.
Give me your worst.
Give me your worst. And it's not this, I would not recommend just saying that to anybody.
No.
Sometimes I don't say it because there's this little voice in my head that goes, can you really handle that today? I don't know if you can or not.
Yeah.
So, sometimes you're reading my signals and you're going, oh, there's baby girl there. Okay, we're going to be daddy and baby girl in this scene. And in my head, I'm like, no, fucking destroy me.
But on,
I don't
on
say
the other
it.
Hand, you know, reading those signs, you have to. You know, we had a thing that occurred here a month and a half ago, where a client got very...
oh, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've talked about that one before.
And he got very derogatory towards Kayla.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Asshole.
Tell me how you really feel.
By the way, he was an ex-vanilla client. My kink and sex clients are amazing. That is all I want to say. Go ahead.
And, you know, because of the things he was saying, at one point, I would not let her even read one of the emails.
No, we filed that away.
Yeah.
I've still not read it.
But, you know, at that time, that would not have been moment to enter into some kind of humiliation play with her.
No, because
wrong time. You would have been devastated.
I would have internalized that. Absolutely.
You would have internalized that. That would have torn you apart in the wrong ways.
Absolutely.
That would have had very, very negative effects. You know, humiliation play, like I've said before, it is fun. It is great. It can be exciting as hell.
Y'all should see his face right now. The sadistic gleam.
But you have to know the right moment.
Absolutely. And as the bottom or the submissive, you have to understand yourself as well. So I know, even though it's funny, we've never actually had this conversation, but clearly we are on the same page. I'm very happy for that. I know that if I am going through a period of high anxiety where I am worried about everything, the last thing you can do is to call me to say something mean about me.
Right.
Even in a scene, even if I know objectively it's not true, my mind cannot handle it. Just like, not that I want sex when I'm in a depressive low. It's like the last thing I want. But if I'm on the edge of a depressive low, I could not handle humiliation because I'm already having those kind of feelings of worthlessness and who am I and what am I and I'm going numb. And even though I'd like to say now when I'm not in either of those moments, knock on wood for these 5 minutes, that it would probably be okay ultimately if I could even accept it. Like we've talked about in the past, if I'm in an anxious moment, I can't even stand being touched and I'm like, it's nothing sexual. It's like, ooh, get away from me. But no offense, I love you so much. But
thank you.
Right. So assuming you could even get that close, I want to believe I'd be okay with it, but it's not worth it to me to test that. It's not worth it to me to experiment with, oh, sure, you're in a depressive low, let me treat you like an object right now.
No.
I just don't think, I'm not willing to try that out. I'm just, personally, I'm not. Like right now, and yes, it is, it's kind of a weird inverse. So the more confident I'm feeling, the more alive I'm feeling. Like right now, I'm really tired, but man, I'm like, let's go conquer the kinky world. Yeah. I don't know where that came from, but there it is. You could drag me off to the bedroom by my hair, throw me around on the bed, throw me around on the ground, do your worst. I might start screaming, give it all to me. I can take it. Right. And I'm like,
okay. I think we need to end this.
Stop.
End the show.
So I think I just gave him, I gave him a hard on, y'all. And so it's a strange kind of inverse that the higher and the better I'm feeling, the more willing I am
to be taken down.
And maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's because it's that, for me, it is that jolt. It's the only word I've found to really describe it. It's this jolt of I'm out of wherever I was before, and oh, look at me. There's this reminder that this person has the power. This person that I've given the power to has the power, and they can do what they want, and I'm going to let him do what he wants to do, and he wants me to be teeny tiny and insignificant in this really sexy, kinky, made my mouth water. Okay,
you're having really napkin drooling. For
Sorry. Take a sip of water. Try and wash that down.
It is a very intense form of a power exchange.
Oh, yes.
All right. I mean, DS on a whole, you know, is obviously a power exchange. You have your rituals and protocols and your rules, but those things are very on an even keel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, the humiliation power exchange is intense. It goes from one extreme
to another. And I think that's why for me it works in those moments when I'm already at that low. You can't bring me any lower, and if you can, it could cause severe harm,
right?
And that's the important part.
And I don't want to break my toy. I like my toy.
Your toy does not want to be broken. But that's why it's important to, when you're going to play on the edge like that. And I know some people are thinking, well, edge play, that's when you might, you know, cut somebody or make somebody bleed. Or, well,
not necessarily.
You can make somebody bleed internally too. You can rupture their mind. You can change how they see themselves. You can affect how they see themselves. Those things are sometimes more serious wounds than the one that can be stitched up and heal and leave a visible scar. Because what we think about ourselves deep down that maybe we haven't admitted to anybody else yet, let alone ourselves, if you engage in a play where both parties have not sort of fully communicated and gained some trust, you may have just solidified this view, an incorrect view that somebody has of themselves, and they may carry that around forever and never know why they can't shake it. They may never admit it. Like a scar on the skin from a cut, you can see. A scar
on the inside,
why you can't.
Humiliation play can be so much fun, but it is not something to be entered into lightly.
No.
And it is not for everybody.
No. And some people will hear even will hear some of the things described, and it can just makes them go cold.
They cringe inside. Yeah.
It's just like, you know, spanking is kind of ubiquitous. It feels ubiquitous in kink and DS. And yet I have met plenty of kinksters, both sides of the slash, are like, I have no interest in spanking. That is not my thing.
Right.
It makes them go cold. Just because it feels like everybody doesn't do it. And just because it seems like all these people like it and you don't, there's nothing wrong with you if you don't like it. It's like everything else in kink. It's a very personal thing, and you need to do what feels right for you and not what you think everybody else is doing. Not even, and I say this to the submissives, not what you think your partner wants you to do. If it comes, it's one thing to try something because you don't know how you feel about it. You're like, maybe I'm okay with that. I'll try it and then find out one way or the other. It's another thing to hear something described or see it described or even experience a little bit of yourself and it feel like cold water was just poured on you. And you're like, oh no, this is not my thing. That does not, no warm tingly feelings here. You don't have to do that. And you are no less submissive or dominant or top or bottom if it's not your thing. Really, truly, no, not everybody is doing all the things.
No.
And we all have to pick and choose what
things you want to do.
Right. And for us, this is part of it. Now, I even know, because of observation mostly, that some people would not consider dirty talk. They would consider it dirty talk. They would not consider it part of humiliation play. And that's cool, too.
Yeah.
You can engage in the same activity and view it differently. It's all about how it makes you feel and how you internalize what's happening to you. If you don't see this humiliation play and we're doing the exact same thing, that's just as valid as anything else.
Well, in my mind, I see a little bit of a distinction between dirty talk and humiliation play. All right. I mean, there's a difference between, you know, oh, you really turn me on, baby girl, and I want you right now.
That sounds like vanilla dirty talk.
I
want to
take you and...
I'm sorry, I'm going cold right now. Somebody threw a bucket my goodness. Of cold water.
Look, you should see the look on her face. Oh, my God.
I don't like this. I have also backed away from it.
You have.
I do not like it at all.
Girl, I want to fuck you. Ah, whole different reaction. Look at that.
Sorry, can't really speak now.
Okay. And she's moved a whole lot closer.
But that is a form of dirty talk.
But that's you know, dirty talk.
But that's the difference.
As opposed to calling somebody a name.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Some people will take the name you call
in conjunction with
and
the
call it dirty. For them, it's dirty talk.
Okay.
For me, it's not. That's cool.
Yeah.
We don't have to agree. Now, what I would like to sort of come back to, we're talking about you have to know each other. And if we haven't said it yet in 40 minutes of talking, let's make sure we say now, consent, consent, consent.
Yes. Oh, God, yes.
Big D's, you do not just like storm into a room and start humiliating your sub without knowing if that is okay
right.
to do.
No. Always have full informed consent before.
Right. And enthusiastic. Especially with they this, have to, yes. Like, and if... Like somebody just did a few minutes ago, your words are like pouring cold water on them. Stop. Just stop. Find something else. But there is, and this is difficult for some submissives, especially if they find themselves wanting things they don't think they should want, which happens to both sides of the slash. Sure. We've had that conversation many times. But if you're going to engage in humiliation play and you're going to allow your dom or your top to say things or have you do things or make you feel a certain way in some specific activity, you have a responsibility to essentially bare your fucking soul, okay? Because if you know, and here's the difference, sometimes you know, sometimes you don't. We're talking about what you do know right now. We'll get to what you don't know. If you know that you are still mortified to this day by something that happened to you 20 years ago, and if your partner did it to you today, you would just crumble and the moment would be lost. You've got, as hard as it is to admit those embarrassing things that happened to you or those things that make you feel shame, your partner needs to know so they don't just blunder into it mid-scene
right.
and inadvertently make you feel something that you definitely don't want to feel. Kill their own confidence of, oh shit, can I even do this humiliation play? Look what I just did to my partner. And potentially cause you harm that's going to take time to heal. Because now you have to deal with the fact that maybe you were triggered by hearing a word or having a certain experience. Some people, and I've read about this a little bit, I'm certainly no expert on it. Some people do use certain acts, BDSM acts and scenes, to help them overcome past trauma.
Yes.
That is not something to be done lightly.
No.
I would certainly recommend doing a lot of research and reaching out to people you respect right. before you and know about that
and,
stuff
and
before
talking
you do that.
To a professional.
Yes. I do know that people do that, but for many of us to be confronted with it in what we thought was going to be a fun scene and it not to be this purposeful thing we're doing, it can be just devastating. So if you know that there are things you just can't let happen to you. Don't call me these names. Don't do this thing. This thing happened in my past. Mm-hmm. Please, you know, I don't want to be reminded of it. Right. If you know you have those things, before you can engage in that kind of play, you have an obligation to tell your partner because your partner can't make responsible decisions if they don't know.
Right. Now, I mean, so I'm name calling. Some people never want to be hit in the face because of something that happened in their past.
Exactly. Or just how they feel about it in general.
In general.
But that's a humiliation play, like any form of edge play, should all play needs to be taken, you know, done carefully, a lot of communication, a lot of consent. But when you start playing on the edge there, you go a lot slower. You do more talking. You test the waters, you dip your toe in before you go any further.
When I first slapped Kayla in the face, it was not a hard slap at all. It was akin to a love tap.
It was. But it was,
But I did it that way to gauge her reaction.
Oh, God, it was so hot. It was so hot.
And we built up from there. Now, again, because of it being in the face, there is a limit as to how hard I will hit her there, period.
True. You have gotten rougher in the past several months on the few times we've done it. And it's what I loved about it when you do it now, because you do it harder and more often. So before it was like one smack out of the in the scene. That was it.
Right.
And I'd be like, mar, hit me. And I would get just the one. And then gradually increase to same intensity, multiple slaps.
Right.
From one to two, two to three. I think three is your max. I don't think you've ever hit me more than three times in the face. And now you've upped the intensity.
Yes.
And it's when you make a change, whether it's intensity or numbers of time or whatever, in that specific part, it's always shocking. It's a jolt to the system. And that is something about that I enjoy. I do want to say we said it before, but I want to like make sure we're clear here. There is a massive spectrum for humiliation play.
Yes.
So, and there are things that I can read about. I'm sure I've mentioned this multiple times. I still remember one of the first erotic stories I read. It was on Literotica. It was about enemas and definite degradation, like not public in the sense of like out in the vanilla world, but in a backyard with an audience that could have been seen. There was a garden hose. There was an enema.
Oh,
there
goodness.
Was,
wow.
Right. I would never allow that to happen to me. No. But reading it was hot as hell.
But it made a hot scene.
It made
read,
a very hot
yeah.
scene. And that is how, that's actually how I discovered I have at least slight humiliation kinks, because I can read it, and as long as I know that it will never happen to me, I can get really turned on by it. But it is a vast spectrum. Anybody who pervs the NSFW side of Tumblr has seen some body licking a boot or being peed on or licking a toilet. I cannot actually watch those things. Like, that kind of porn is just way too much for me, because it's too harsh, and it I guess something about visually, I could see myself in it, and I that's too much for me, so I reject it. It's that cold water thing. Oh, God, get it away from me. And yet when I read it, I don't know. I think maybe because when I read it, everything has like this nice soft haze, like that dream haze you get in a movie where you know it's a dream, you know it's not real, and something about the porn, it's too harsh, it's too glaring. But it really is from being called, you know, my slut up to, and even things I'm sure my imagination is not good enough to imagine, you know, being peed on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can give yourself the label of somebody who enjoys humiliation play and like only like specific things. At this point, actual actions, I only like specific things. For me, the humiliation play is more about how you make me feel, and you can do all kinds of things if you give me the feeling I want, which is of being less than, of being lower, of being objectified to a certain extent. It's not always about what you physically do. It's about how you make me feel. And yet there are some things that I personally would never, ever, 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 ever do.
Okay.
So let's just like, if we've gone, I didn't think we'd have so much to say, but we've gone rambly, and I kind of want to like make sure we've made that point.
Sure.
Now, I said it's communication, and you have to, if you know you have a trigger, you have an obligation. If you're going to engage in this play, you have to let your partner know. But there's also the stuff you won't know is a trigger until it happens to you.
A landmine.
Yeah.
Yes. Those are possible too. We've talked about those in previous episodes, but I think it's worth saying again. You know, when you're doing something like this, humiliation play, you are traipsing around in the darker parts of someone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The lights are not on. You will not always see where you are stepping. Tread carefully.
Yes.
You could step on a landmine and set off a trigger, and you need to know everything at that point stops.
Yeah.
All right? That is not a, do you think we can keep playing? No. Everything comes to a dead stop. Aftercare. Talking. You know, it needs to stop.
Right. And here's another thing. I want to say it's happened to me in the past, and it couldn't have been so big that it's stuck in my memory, but I know it does happen. So you might get through a scene, and you might not know, and you might think everything's fine.
And something down,
you get a couple days,
an hour, a day or two later, and something just hits you.
Exactly.
Like a deja vu.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And boom, you know, so, yes, you know, always, you know, several days later, follow up.
Exactly. And for the submissive / bottom, if you do not feel comfortable, I'm going to give you a little bit of tough love here. And, you know, I do it with the deepest love. If you do not feel comfortable telling this partner who you're going to allow to make you feel humiliated, or at least try it with them. If you do not feel comfortable telling them the things they need to avoid, if you do not feel comfortable telling them a week later, you know that thing we did last week? It has fucked with my head, and here's why, and here's stuff I didn't know. If you do not feel comfortable with having those conversations with that person, you are not in the place to be playing with that kind of humiliation.
No.
Because you are playing on the edge. You, through your own inability or unwillingness to be able to say really hard, difficult, and yet very honest things, are putting yourself in harm's way. You are potentially, unintentionally, I get it, but you are potentially allowing your dom or your top to harm you. And that has an impact on them as well.
Yeah.
Anytime John Brownstone has ever thought he hurt me physically or mentally outside of the confines and the boundaries of our kinky play, that's the closest I've ever seen him come to crying over something in our relationship. The fact that he could harm me unintentionally, thinking he had full consent, thinking everything was okay because he didn't know something, that is something that will stay with your dom moving forward. And they may be less likely to want to experiment, to try new things, because now they're worried about harming you. On the flip side, if you're working with a dom over there who does not give two shits about harming you, like true harming, not kinky consensual fun harming, that's another problem in and of itself, and you've got to be watching out for that. But the first test of, can I do this humiliation thing? It sounds kind of hot. The first question is, am I willing to tell them, to bare my soul to them and tell them things that maybe I haven't told anybody in years, so that they will avoid the things I need them to avoid? And if you can't, if you have not built that up, or you personally don't have enough confidence yet to do it, then slow your roll, find something else to do, start having those conversations, or rethink what you're doing. But that is a key element. It is, we've talked about this before, it's been ages, But submissives have just as many responsibilities as dominants.
True.
They're different, some of them. Some of them are exact same. Your responsibility is to be forthcoming so that your dominant, your top, does not inadvertently cause real harm.
Right.
Ooh, I got ranty.
Do no harm. Yeah, you did.
I got ranty.
Yeah, you did.
I had a little tough love there.
Yeah.
I say it with full love in my heart.
I know.
Just laying down the law.
Just driving the point home.
I know. I'm sure there's more to say, but I feel like I ran out of steam.
I think there's always a lot more that can be said about this topic. It's like everything else. It's a broad spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But I think we made some good points, at least how they relate to us and things that, you know, and in ways that we understand it.
Exactly.
I mean, they're, you know, humiliation plays is a big, big thing throughout. I know it plays a big part in female-led male submissive.
Yeah, I try not to say if what I see on Twitter is true, because we know that's a scary statement. Yeah. But oh my God, what I see on Twitter.
And the thing is, you know, again, what you see on Twitter.
No, I know. Don't count that as reality.
It's just a very small piece of the pie. Not all female dominants are into humiliation. Some are, some aren't, else.
But what you see, maybe it's because
it's extreme.
It's extreme.
Yes, it's extreme.
On Twitter. And I have to sometimes tell myself, most of this is fantasy. Hopefully this is consensual.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is just sort of how they advertise their work. Oh my God,
I mean,
the cold water effect again.
It does exist in that portion of the lifestyle.
Oh, sure.
It's not something I've ever experienced or, you know,
care to experience.
in all honesty, if the shoe were on the other foot, humiliation play for me
as a receiver of it,
mm-hmm. I could not do it.
I see that about you.
I could not do that. That is not something I could do as a receiver.
No, I can totally see that. I can't imagine. Now, of course, I look at you through the lens of you're my daddy, you're my dom, and you're the sadist. So, but when I think about your like soft gooey center that not everybody sees, no, I can't. I can't either, because I've seen what happens when you do feel emotional pain, and I see what you know, how you respond to that. And no, and also the idea of somebody purposely giving you emotional pain, I want to punch them in the face, and they're not even real.
But down, girl. This is all hypothetical. Down, girl.
I want to punch them in the face, and I don't know who they are. But what we will say is, obviously this is primarily, it always is, but really this one is primarily from our perspective and our specific kinks. And there are so many different ways to express humiliation play. There are so many things to like or not like, or feelings to have, good or bad, about it. We, you know, look forward to hearing what you say. If any writers out there or have like really strong feelings about it, you know, pitch an idea. Yeah. Why the hell not? But you can, you know, reach out to us on Twitter or FetLife. I actually do, I can't always keep up with it, but it does bring a smile to my face when I see listeners like live tweeting an episode.
Yeah.
Especially when they get to something that they find funny that I forgot we even said. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. But you can talk to us on Twitter. You can talk to us on FetLife. You can, if you're a member of the community, you can certainly talk to us there. We have a forum for podcast episodes. Go find podcast episode 121 and share your two cents there. But that's, it's so highly personal. And like I said, I don't really talk to people about kinks specifically, you know, relationships. Mm-hmm. Yes. Communication. Yes. Being a good human being all day long. I'll talk about that. My specific kinks and your specific kinks, it's not something I, you know, so I can't tell you what other people do other than what I've observed. So if you've got another experience with it, feel free to share. Where it helps us learn. It helps us.
Absolutely.
You know, grow as people. Yeah. So.
All right.
We did get mail, so we will have a bonus section. We would have a bonus section even without
mail. Right, I know.
I can pretend otherwise. I'm
not going to disappoint the crickets.
I know, I love the crickets. So, I think that's all I can say. You know, you tried so hard to oil that chair.
I know,
and it's still squeaky.
Yeah. All right. Well, we can talk about that after.
Oh, I can bitch about your squeaky chair in the bonus section. Okay.
All right. I'll be happy to do it. Are we good?
Vaguely.
All right.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
See you next week. Can I? Please? Oh, you're going to pull my hair. Oh, God. Oh, hair pulling and a face slap. Oh, I'm sorry, what were we talking about? And you want me to talk about mail? Now I can't even open my eyes.
Go ahead, baby girl.
Microphone is.
I'll point you in the direction. There you go.
Oh, God, you just put your hand on my head like you do when you're going to face fuck me? What the hell? The whole episode is devolved into kinky fuckery. Oh, my God. I really can't keep my eyes open. Okay, that's not conducive to sharing the mail we got this week. And I just dropped part of my mail. I dropped my sticker. We got mail from our friend, whom I adore. I adore many of you, and you know that. This is one of the people I adore, Professor Sex.
Yes.
Here's what I love about Professor Sex. So on the outside of the envelope, where the world can see, it is addressed to Mr. Daddy and Mrs. Baby Girl.
Yes.
And then on the back part where she puts her address, it comes from Professor Sex.
Yep.
And we have unicorn tape to seal it, hearts, and a mermaid card.
Yeah.
And so I pulled this out of our box and was immediately in baby girl heaven.
She was squeeing.
I was squeeing.
Giggling.
I was giggling.
It was a beautiful sight.
I walked in the house with the mail and I was cradling it to my chest.
Yes.
And then a certain someone said, oh, we are not ruining this envelope with our unicorn tape and our heart stickers and our mermaid self, and pulled out his letter opener to open it. And then we were sitting down to record. I'm like, okay, do we have the card? Okay, do we have the stickers? Where's the envelope?
Right here, baby girl.
Thank you, Daddy. So, yes, we love Professor Sex, and she said kind, lovely, wonderful things about us in this, and I can't really read it out loud because it makes me blush, but one thing she did say was she thanked us for normalizing and destigmatizing BDSM, DS, and DDLG. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny. I know that was always the point when we first started, but sometimes I don't think of it like that. Like, I just think of it as I'm having a conversation with a bunch of kinky people.
Yeah.
And trying to help everybody be better people, which then results in better relationships. And so that was a nice little reminder that is true. I mean, we get messages and comments a lot from people who go, I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought I couldn't have this kind of dynamic. I thought that I was doing it wrong. And I listened to y'all and, you know, we just sort of live it. I mean, we know we have to put on our vanilla face in the vanilla world and all that stuff, but we just are who we are, and it makes people feel comfortable enough to go explore whatever it is about themselves. And I like that. I like that we do that. So our card on the outside did say, you are mermazing. And you know what I realized? And I don't know how I didn't realize this. So I know some baby girls and littles and not even people who identify in that part of the spectrum love unicorns, or they love teddy bears, or they love like the certain things they love. Yeah. And I'm learning more and more that it's mermaids for me. It is totally mermaids for me. Now, in our envelope, and Professor Sex knows this very well, so there was two of everything in our envelope.
Right.
And when I messaged her to say thank you, I also said thank you for not making us share the stickers. She sent stickers. One is from Kink Academy. Kink is a team sport. Yep. I love that. Two stickers are from her site. So one says, it's a quote from the book, The Ethical Slut, which is sitting on my nightstand and I still haven't read. The best part of learning about sex is you will love the homework. Ain't that the fucking truth?
Yes, indeed.
And then the other one says, I love medically accurate, pleasure-based, inclusive sex ed. And we do.
Yeah.
And then Professor Sex helps organize at the University of North Florida in Jacksonville.
I don't think she
Sex
helps.
Week.
I think
she
does.
Well, I think the students work with her
do
on
they?
It. I think
okay.
they do.
Okay.
I think Professor Sex, you will correct
us. Please correct us, yes.
But they are working right now on 2018 Sex Week. And it's intersectionality.
Intersectionality.
Yes, but it's sex.
Yes.
Not sex.
Sex.
Right. We're saying
that's
the same
thing. That's
what I said. Okay. So, and it comes from the, I'm going to read this because it's really cool, the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender, LGBT, Resource Center at the University of North Florida. And I love that. And we have stickers. And I don't have to share with you. I have my own. Because she knew who she was. So that was our mail this week. And I have been told by several people that we have other things coming. And the fact that we haven't seen them is making me nervous.
I know.
I hope that the mail carriers have not gone prudish. I really hope they haven't gone prudish because I just sent out postcards.
True.
So I have two sets of postcards I sent out now. One was the backlog from 3 months ago of mail that we have received. And what I do is, if you've already been sending postcards and I've sent you, because I only have two styles, I've sent you two back. I don't keep sending you more. If I get a new style, I would do that because then it'd be a new style and you get a new postcard.
Right. Makes sense.
So if you're like, but I've sent you 25 postcards, well, I sent you two back. And if I did not send you any back, please ping me because clearly I have fucked up. But I also, on Patreon, I have a thing where I don't send the Loving BDSM postcards. Those are unique and special for Loving BDSM listeners. But I have another postcard I send to certain patrons on Patreon. Mm-hmm. That one is a little more blatant.
Oh, risque?
It's a almost naked alien girl. She's wearing boots and pasties over her nipples. She's green, so I figured it's not like a real lady. It can't really be porn.
Green, let's see, that'd be Andorran.
I don't know.
No, they're blue.
I just know that it was sexy and cute, and I felt like it was sexy enough that, yes, you definitely got this from a sex blogger person, but not so sexy that your mail carrier will look upon you in judgment. So, they might wonder why you have weird friends, but... So I sent those out as well. So yes, I did send out mails. So people who kindly sent us stuff and then got nothing back should be getting some things back very, very soon. So I don't really have anything to talk about. I've just been working and I have more work to do and then there's more work.
Yeah.
And then we'll go to London.
Yes.
And our London schedule is rapidly filling up. I'm like, I feel like I should just like put out a thing that says we're going to be at this place at this time. If you're around, just come see us. But then that might not be as fun because I don't do so hot in really big crowds. So I'm just...
I had the night before we were recording this, I had to take her phone away.
You did. I have a lot of work to do and I'm letting myself
And she's procrastinating with my plan on Twitter.
Yes.
And she had already told me prior that, it's going to be a long night. I've got so much work ahead of me. I don't know how late I'm going to be up. You'll probably want to go to bed before me. Mm-hmm. And what is she doing? Sitting there playing on a damn phone, tweeting.
Because things are funny and I need to just share my my views on the
and
world.
And then she tries to be sassy and sneaky about it and hide her phone in the desk drawer.
Well, I will say that when I popped in the desk drawer, I was not thinking, oh, I will hide this from John Brownstone. I was thinking, if I can't see it... Maybe I won't grab it. And then what I just did was I had it face up in my desk drawer and I kept opening my desk and looking to see if I had any notifications and shutting it. I have a problem. I have a serious problem.
And that's why I took your phone.
I know. And then I was like, can I have 5 minutes after dinner to look? And I got 5 whole minutes, which was the amount of time I needed to check my notifications and put out a tweet with a Homer Simpson gif in it. Because, you know, of course that's what you do. So, yeah. I know. And part of it is I'm overwhelmed. Not in a bad way. Not like it's messing with my mind or anything. But, like, I'm overwhelmed with everything I need to do. So it's like, oh, let's bright shiny over here. And part of me is I'm so ready to be done with it all. I feel like I've just constantly been working over the past several weeks. Then I'm like, whatever. It always gets figured out anyway. And that's not what I really do want to start our travels.
With a clean slate.
With a clean slate. And
clean
really
and free
good.
Slate.
I know. And going, you know what? If I don't even have to open my MacBook for a day if I don't want to. And if I don't, it'll be okay.
Right.
So,
I mean, you know, not just the fact that this trip is for Eroticon, but it is also our honeymoon.
You know, I there better be some kinky fuckery in London is all I got to say.
Well,
and pictures of the kinky fuckery.
Yes.
Yay!
I mean, let's face it, you know, we'll be in a hotel room.
Oh, God, we haven't been in a hotel room in so long.
In a strange city.
No children.
No children.
We won't care what our neighbors think because we don't know them.
Fuck the neighbors.
Well, if they consent.
Only if they consent. Okay. But, yeah. God.
I know.
The possibilities.
I know. So, yes, it's exciting. But I have to get my shit done first.
Yes, you do.
I know.
I am having to face a hard reality.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Something that's a little disconcerting because of the time we've been together. And we have such a strong bond and an ongoing relationship.
Where are you going with this?
My chair.
Oh, God. Were y'all taken into? I'm looking at him like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? He's talking about his damn chair. If you're telling me that we can buy you a new chair, I say, let's go to fucking Staples right the fuck now.
I think it's probably going to be time.
Probably going to. Your chair talks more than you do.
You know, it didn't really hit me until I was listening back on some of the MM podcast I recorded.
Masturbation Monday. People don't know code, and there are no children here. The Masturbation Monday podcast.
And the chair sounds like a creaky old door in a spooky house.
Which is not necessarily conducive to sexy feelings.
No. Not unless it was like, not unless it's haunted erotica or something
right.
like
if you,
that.
Yeah, if you like horror erotica, I'm sure that might turn you on, but most people do not like
that. No, no. And just before this podcast, I grabbed the oil can and oiled it down, and it lasted
a whole 5 minutes.
5 minutes, and yeah.
You need a new chair.
I think it's finally.
I know. You need a new chair. It's time. How long have you? I mean, the fabric on it is just wearing away in certain spots. How long have you had this chair? Was it the 90s?
Yeah.
20 years?
Pretty much.
It's time.
I mean, it's been a good solid chair.
Yes, I'm sure. But you know, it's time you give other chairs a chance. There's some young, eager, fresh-faced chairs out there who would love to cradle your ass.
And my back.
And your back.
And my back.
I know, and your back.
I mean, this chair
this poor
has,
chair needs this, to be put out to pasture.
This chair has cradled my back through thick and thin and good and bad.
And your ass. I just like the idea of something cradling your ass. I'm here for the ass cradling. And on that note, I think we need to be done.
I think we've pretty much appalled people at this point.
Well, and I will use this as a test for our crickets who are on Twitter. If they listen to the brutal end. And will tweet at me that they too are here for the ass cradling. That will be the proof that they listen to the very end. I'm totally here for the ass cradling.
All right.
Okay. Can I cradle your ass later?
You can cradle my ass later.
Woo-hoo! Okay.
Even the chair doesn't do as good a job as you do.
Nobody does as good a job with you as I do. That's the other tweetable thing. Anyway.
All right.
We're done.
We're done.
We're done. We got one more week and then we're off for 2 weeks.
Yes.
So one more week after this one.
Yes.
And we're off for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we love everybody who's tweeted us and said, we're going to miss you. We're going to miss you too. But we'll be back.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Love you guys.
Love you. Thank you. Bye.